Hi everyone, welcome to Better Together and As We podcast. For future reference, As We, as in A-S-W-E, stands for the Alzheimer's Society of Windsor and Essex County. This podcast will feature engaging conversations with guests ranging from community leaders to care partners and persons living with dementia to raise awareness about this disease. You're listening to Better Together and As We podcast, and this is episode 27. My name is Cindy, and I'm joined today by Mike Kessler and his beautiful wife, Karen Kessler. Mike is a client of ours here at the Alzheimer's Society. I've had the pleasure of getting to know Mike throughout his dementia journey. Thank you so much, Mike, for joining me here today.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks.
I think it's been 2 years since our last podcast together.
It's been, 2 years. 2 years since we've had our podcast, and it's been a long road, but a good one.
We have a lot to catch up on.
Yes, we do.
And we're gonna talk a lot about different things, but I also want to reintroduce yourself to our listeners.
My name is Mike Kessler. I'm 73 years of age. It's been 3 years since my diagnosis with vascular dementia and mild Alzheimer's. The diagnosis came as a result of an MRI. I'm a husband with two sons, a grandfather of three. I'm retired now. Mm-hmm. So that's basically who I am. And I, attend these things.
Well, what did you do for work before?
Oh, I was a quality supplier manager. And I was in that role for about 7 years. I went to college for that. Before that, I was a machinist, and I've had a variety of different jobs, but that was the job that I retired from.
What was your favorite thing to do about, what was your favorite thing to do about your job?
Oof, it was meeting people. It was a very challenging job for me. It was a very stressful job, but mostly it was out on the road meeting people and helping them produce a better quality product, doing the best that I could for them and for the company I work for.
And then you said that you got diagnosed 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. How did the diagnosis come about?
I was in a very bad car accident where I was rear-ended, and I was suffered a concussion, a closed brain, traumatic brain injury, and a stroke. And that was in pretty bad shape. I had to go through therapy for about 2 years after that. My vision was messed up. My speech was messed up. I had trouble remembering, had trouble completing a sentence. I had trouble speaking like I am now. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it. So I went through a speech pathologist, a vision care person, learned how to walk properly. My gait was messed up. And I was getting better for about a year and a half, and then things sort of got worse, And we were talking about it on the way here. Was the big incident that sort of cued me is that there was something wrong, as Karen sent me to Walmart to get some shampoo. And I found Walmart, it's local, so I got there, and I walked in the door, and I could not remember why I was there. And all I could see were vast amounts of aisles and bright lights and all kinds of stuff. And then I remember, shampoo. So I'm wandering around this whole store past sweaters and saws and cantaloupes and everything. Okay, shampoo must be down in the health section. So I went down to the health section, and there isn't a big sign that says Karen's shampoo is here, There was rows and aisles of shampoo. And I'm looking around like, what the heck? Shampoo? Blue. A blue shampoo. And of course, there's 19 brands of blue shampoo. And then finally, I triggered as to this is the shampoo she wanted. But it was more the feeling of being lost, not knowing where I am. And I thought, oh my goodness, is this my life? And that had a really big effect on me. And when it came down to when Karen really was the one that noticed things more than I did, I didn't know what day it was. I had to ask several times what day it was. Karen would be getting ready, and I would say, where are you going today? Well, I told you last night I'm going to work, and we're doing this, this, and this. Okay. And then she'd leave, and I'd wonder where she was, And the final thing was really came from Karen, we should maybe look into this. And it was her advocacy with the our primary care physician that really got the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. You know, a friend of ours was a counselor at another organization said, Mike, you need to see this specific neurologist. And that's what we did. And it took a year and a half to finally get the diagnosis from him. But it was an MRI that finally did it, that showed definitively that, yeah, he's got vascular dementia and mild Alzheimer's. But to be honest with you, Cindy, it was a relief, mm-hmm. you know, that finally we've got an answer, you know, and Karen had already contacted the, no, you hadn't yet. Mm-hmm. After we got the diagnosis, we finally could do some research and begin to put into place the things that I needed to get better, or at least to get, not better, but at least to get better at living life. Yep. You know, because there is no cure, but it's made life a lot easier for me.
That leads me into my next question for you. How did you get involved with the Alzheimer's Society?
Karen.
Karen was your biggest advocate?
Yep. She was the one that contacted, I'm not sure if it was First Link or not, but she contacted the Alzheimer's Society here. And from then on, it's my life has really been in their hands, you know. They said, okay, Mike, Karen, you do this, 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 and this. And we did that, that, and that. And here I am. You know, it put us in touch with a education support worker. It got us involved with our first, it got us involved that way. So it was really through Karen that did that. I just, okay, sure, I'll go.
Do you recall the feeling that you felt when you came to the Alzheimer's Society and actually, you know, we're going through all of the process of like being onboarded to programs and our services?
I felt taken care of. I felt at home. You know, these are my people kind of thing. You know what I mean? The thing I liked about walking in the doors, I didn't feel like I was walking into an institution, you know, where there's a bunch of lab coats, you fill out these 15 forms and a clipboard and blah, blah, blah. I felt welcomed. I felt at home. And really, I didn't know who people were, but it didn't matter whether it was the CEO or the receptionist or volunteers. Everyone treated me the same. You know what I mean? I got the feeling, I got the impression that the people in the society get it. They get what I need. They get how to communicate with me, how to bring my best out, you know, and I felt really good about it. And our first social activity, am I skipping ahead?
No, you're going to make me tear up.
Oh, okay. My first activity was where I met you and another
Jessica
was the Minds in Motion. Mm-hmm. And that's where I, you know, I got a chance to actually share what I was going through and how I was feeling. And that moment really started the ball rolling in where I am today, you know. And, you know, it showed that... You know, it took away a lot of the fears that I had, mm-hmm. you know, because like everyone else on the planet, as soon as you hear the word Alzheimer's, the image that goes through your mind is someone in end stage Alzheimer's, you know, where they're in a Johnny chair, drooling in a bucket, not knowing where they are, being angry and violent and all that sort of stuff. That's not my journey right now. My journey right now is like what you see. I'm okay. You know, I feel good about my life. I feel good about the relationship I have with Karen and with and with the society and the support and encouragement I get from the organization. You know, it's given me a lot more than I've given them. You know, and that's why I take the opportunity whatever I can to help out. There's the Minds in Motion and then Your Memory Cafe, which is a hoot, you know. But there are a lot of what I say is anyone that has an early diagnosis, you know, anyone that has even an inkling that something's not right, get in touch. A friend of mine called me up and said, Mike, I'm worried about my wife. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, don't worry anymore. Call this number. In my phone, I've got First Link business cards. And I read off the phone number and I said, call them. You know, hang up from me and call them. And he called me back a couple of days later and said that's what he did. And they took the weight right off his shoulders. And they said, you know, we'll get her on a program. We'll get her a diagnosis within 5 weeks, and we'll take care of everything from there. So I hope that answered your question.
You did, Mike. Honestly, I'm so proud of you that I am just remembering the first time that we met and you introduced yourself, and you did mention that you were scared, but you were willing to take on this journey because you had your wife beside you and you had all of these resources around you. And I thought that was so brave of you because you didn't know anybody in the group.
No.
And you shared that with us, and it just shows who you are as a person and how you've been taking on this journey. So our last podcast was 2 years ago.
Yep.
A lot has changed. A lot has happened. One of the things that you and Karen were worried about was traveling, because you guys are big travelers. You love to see the world and do things. How has that been, traveling?
Traveling, you know, once we figured out a really good strategy, we learned to plan for the traveling, for the challenging bits. We went up to Muskoka all the time. We went to a lodge. It closed down, and we had to rent a cottage. Well, the cottage is in the middle of the forest, in the middle of nowhere, and we were up hiking in Algonquin, and I fell over. Just boom. And it was by a river with granite rocks and all that sort of stuff, and it was a really, I didn't get hurt, but it looked dangerous,
yes.
You know, with all these big pointy granite rocks all around my head. And at that point, we decided, look, we need adult supervision. You know, we need someone on site that can help us out, that can get us out of trouble if I get in trouble or if we need help or whatever. Because we learned, if you need help, ask for it.
Yes.
You know, so fortunately, we got into a lodge up there now that has staff on hand that can help unload our canoe, because we like to canoe. Mm-hmm. She likes to paddleboard and I like to watch her paddleboard, and we go hiking and all that sort of stuff. But someone knows when we're on site and off site. When we travel to Muskoka, or we like to go to Toronto and Ottawa, we go to visit our son. We're going to Quebec City and Halifax this summer. We can talk more about that after. But we put breaks in there. Like, we stay in a hotel overnight. About 4 hours is my limit. You know, I know that. I got a 4-hour time limit. And then I have to be put down like a toddler, you know, in the bed with his bottle and sleeping for a couple of hours. And then I can get up and I'm good for another 4 hours, and then I'm down again.
I don't think naps are only for toddlers. I think naps are necessary and for everyone. So that's a really good.
Yeah, Karen's pointing to a couple of really good points. Karen drives now. I still have my license. If I have to, I can drive her if she needs to go to a doctor's appointment or come back or go to the hospital. I can drive to Walmart to get shampoo. I know where it is now. I've mapped it all out on my phone. You know, I go for a coffee with a friend in LaSalle, which is not far from where we live, but it's a straight line. I still have my license, and Karen drives, I navigate, because I like watching stuff, you know, like watching the birds and the trees and all that sort of junk, and finding where the next restaurant's going to be.
Best part.
We give ourselves extra time to go anywhere. One thing that we do know is that Via Rail gives a free ticket to a caregiver. So I said, well, she's my caregiver, you know what I mean? So we got a rail pass for Karen. And we have an evil plan for this summer. So that's what we do. If we're going to Ottawa, or if we're going to Quebec City, Montreal, Vancouver, wherever, we'll go by train, because it's a lot more relaxing than flying. Mm-hmm. Flying is really confusing, mostly because of security. You got to take your shoes and pants and socks off and all that sort of stuff. But we travel to familiar places. So we mentioned Toronto, Ottawa, Halifax, and small towns in Ontario. We like doing that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. One day, Newfoundland. That's about it.
Yeah, that's amazing. I remember us talking, and you were worried about if you guys were able to travel still and do whatever you guys wanted to do. And I said, hey, you just have to do it. You just have to take on the challenge and, what I say, readjust.
Yes.
You're planning. So that's amazing to hear. And I hope, like, our listeners that are listening take that as your advice and just do it. I want to talk about all of the programs that you're a part of. So you recently just became a member of the board.
Yeah, Sally, we were outside Shoppers Drug Mart and I got a phone call. Sally said that they would like to put my name forward as an applicant to be on the board. And I said, without even looking at Karen, I said yes. And then I said, what do you think? And she said yes. And I was fortunate enough, honored to be accepted onto the board as the first person living with dementia on the board of directors for ASWE. I'm on the Community Advisory Council for ASWE as well. Karen and I are honorary co-chairs of the, I have to read this, is the Capital Campaign Committee. That's a new committee that they're hoping to raise some funds for a new location for ASWE. We've outgrown this one. We'd like to provide more programs, a centralized location and all that stuff. And everyone's got all kinds of plans for the new place. So if you have any money, please donate.
I like that plug.
I'm a sound technician for the church choir. A lot of the skills that I had before my diagnosis are still there.
Yes.
I was a trained audio recording engineer, which really was my favorite job. I can still do that. It's a small choir, but I have evil plans for it too. So I'm a member of the Windsor Essex Ontario Health Team Patient, Family, and Caregiver Partnership Council. Big word for PFAC.
Mm-hmm.
Our recommendations go to a steering committee, which in turn goes to the Ontario Health Team. So there's a place where I can advocate for persons living with dementia. I facilitate an online meeting for Brentwood Recovery Home once a week. Mm-hmm. And I do guest speaking spots with Karen. We just finished one yesterday.
Wow. You are busy.
Yeah, it's funny. We look at the milk calendar on the fridge a couple of months down and it's empty. And by the time we get there, it's full.
Yes. I have to ask you guys probably weeks in advance if you're able to do something because your calendar is really stacked.
It gets full. Yeah.
How do you manage all of these activities and programs that you're involved in?
Well, the main thing is to space out the activities. Yesterday was a big day. Today is a big day, but they're one day at a time. We put a couple of hours in between one thing and the other. After this, I've got my personal trainer coming over to the house, but he's coming over at 2.
Wow.
So that gives me time to lay down and recollect myself.
Yeah.
Is that the right word? And to get ready for that. I look forward to the training. It gets me moving. He's working on the flabby bits.
When did you start personal training?
He was Mike's trainer before COVID.
Nice.
Now he's gone into private training, so he comes to the house.
Amazing. He comes to the house, so you don't have to leave. That's amazing.
No, he comes right over, and we have all the toys that he needs. He's not one of those gung-ho guys, where you're throwing tractor tires around the backyard or lifting 50-pound weights. He's more interested with me in balance, mm-hmm. and coordination and that sort of stuff. He's very gentle and understanding of my limitations. So it's good. The private trainer is a great idea.
What are some of the benefits you see from personal training or just training in general, working on your balance and coordination?
Well, you look at I wish I remembered that there's pillars to recovering or being able to do better in living with dementia. One of them is socialization. The other one is keeping your mind active. And the other one is physical activity.
You got it all.
You have to do that. You really do. Even if it's moving your fingers around, which you do these things that you do during Memory Cafe, just keep something active. If you sit there in the couch watching Netflix, I like to do that too. But if you put in a walk in there, even if it's just a kilometer, we go around the block and get the mail and walking up and down the stairs, getting up and, moving around the house, doing something.
Mm-hmm.
She cooks, I clean, she drives, I navigate, we walk around the block, we do stuff like that. But, if resources are limited, you can get all the little doodads you need really from a local Walmart. They have bands there you can stretch or doing different things. You give everybody that goes to the Minds in Motion a free squishy ball and using that. And if they come to the Minds in Motion sessions, you'll learn all you need to know in keeping your body active for someone that may have limited mobility.
Because all the exercise we do are in your chair, really.
Yes, really. Which is perfect for me.
And he's a guy that you know and you enjoy his company. And so we've got someone coming into the house and it's social as well as being physical.
Yeah. You mentioned that your trainer is understanding.
Yes.
What makes him understanding when you guys are communicating and doing these exercises together?
He watches me, and I had to tell him. You know, I think that that's really important between Karen and I and me and anybody else, is you got to tell them.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like sometimes people can be really prideful and saying, you know, I've got a bad back, I've got a bad knee, I'm sorry, sometimes I don't understand what you're saying. You know, it's what really prevents them from being properly diagnosed and a good treatment plan put in place is they go like this and throw away the key, sort of kick pride out of the room. Just say, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that. And he's also got his degree, you know, in HK, so he knows what he's doing and he knows what he's looking for. So,
would you say that direct communication is the way to go for
absolutely.
A situation?
Yep. It worked that way with family. It worked that way with friends. You know, when I told them that I was diagnosed, there's several different reactions. One of them is they turn to Karen and says, oh, you poor dear. Oh, you poor thing. And she doesn't feel like poor dear, poor thing. And like with my boys, he says, okay, what do we do? And she said, include them. You know, I don't want to be a houseplant. You know, I don't want to be the rutabaga in the corner. And they speak to me in the third person, like involve me. I may not like board games, but I don't mind being in the room while they're being played, you know. When they're playing Trivial Pursuit, for some reason all that nonsense is still in my head. So they sort of have this thing called Call a Grandpa. I don't have to actually sit there and go through all the confusing bits. They get one opportunity to call a grandpa. If they're in a category they don't know, they say, I want to call a grandpa. And they ask me and, you know, I give them the answer. So that's how I get to be involved. People adapt
this reminded me when you were just talking about playing games with your grandchildren and your kids. When you go visit your kids, you told me that you have a designated room or a space that you can go to when everything feels overwhelming.
Yes, and that's important. And that also involves communicating with the host. You know, we have to tell the host, even if it's just a house party, saying, look, Mike needs a room he can go to. Sometimes he gets overwhelmed, confused. He just needs a nice, quiet place he can go to where he can sit down. No offense, you know, he still loves you, but that's where he can go and recollect. And when he comes back out, he'll be Mike again, you know. And so that's all part of communicating with others. Karen lets people know ahead of time so they're not offended. And really for me to know when things are getting a little far is I watch Karen for cues.
Mm-hmm.
There's subtle ones. There's eye movements. There's, you know, the scratching the nose. There's the safe word, or she'll tap me on the arm or tap me on the leg or whatever, or kick me under the table. That way I get cues from her as to what's going on. And I give her cues, you know, like if sometimes when she's talking, I don't know if it's just it's a trait, but I know that sometimes when people are talking, she'll say, remember Aunt Madge? You know, Aunt Madge had this really beautiful dress she got at Cleo's. And I was at Cleo's the other day. I said, forget it. What I'll say is do you want to throw out safety cones every time you change directions? And she'll know that, you know, it's time to just stay on one track.
Yeah.
Or I'll tell her, hon, I'm running out of brain juice here.
Oh, that's
You know, I'm running out, you know. And she'll say, okay, I'll be quiet now. You know, you should put on Mozart or something.
That's the one thing I love about you two is just seeing how you communicate with one another. It's very to the point. You get each other. And I just hope and pray that a lot of our care partners and clients learn that communication is the most important thing while going through a journey like this. So it's really cool to see. So you're saying all this, but I see it. Even when I'm at the, you know, across the room at Memory Cafe, I can see you two just communicating without even talking to each other, which is really cool to see. Since it's you two living at home and, you know, sometimes you need your alone time and some space away from each other, what are some things that you do to, you know, stay occupied and keep yourself busy?
One of the things that I've been getting into lately is I got a couple of things. This is post-COVID, during COVID, post-diagnosis. I got a small CNC machine. It's a computer-operated sawdust making machine and a 3D printer. And I've got a Cricut. It's a crafting machine. Mm-hmm. And I've put that to good use. I make T-shirts, plaques, stuff for mugs. And one thing that I really enjoy is I make plaques for the Memory Cafe to give away as gifts. And so they're humorous. Some are, you know, sentimental and all that sort of stuff. And I made Karen a Christmas gift. And that's the sort of stuff that I'm able to run away to my shop. It's all computer operated, so that's right in my wheelhouse. And I get to put my sense of humor down on something physical, you know, and express myself that way. You know, and some people like to color, some people like to do, you know, you get those books where you have colored pencils and things like that. That also keeps the brain active. You use your imagination and your creativity, you know, so. Oh no, we love to go on vacation. We go hiking, canoeing, kayaking. We love eating out. We love going out to eat. She has this thing. If there's an activity that I don't want to do, she puts food at the end of it.
Yes.
So it's like she's got a dog, and you know she has a little hot dog. Come on, come on. There's a good boy. You know, and
I'm hey, right it's along. Okay to be motivated by food.
Yeah. So it's that kind of thing where I have hobbies that are separate from her, and I can come upstairs, look, Mom, look what I made, you know, and so that's what I do.
Wow. I'm so happy that you have your own activities and you enjoy doing it. I know a lot of our clients at the Memory Cafe love it because they love winning those signs that you make. Did you want to touch base a little bit on your neurologist meeting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have a very good neurologist here in town. We were lucky to get him. It took about it was during COVID. So it took about 18 months from first referral to the final diagnosis. He went at it with eliminating a lot of other things first. Mm-hmm. So we went through a lot of testing, like for sleep apnea and other things. Went for my third MRI head study. And really with an MRI, it depends on who's looking at it as to what they find. And finally, this one did it. He looked at that and he set a baseline with me at that point. And we've been to see him twice. And this time he said, Mike, you've only lost 1 point in the last year. So my progress is minimal, and he's really happy with it. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, I didn't ask him, how many points do you get? You know, he said, you've lost 1 point. Well, if it's out of 5, I'm in big trouble. But if it's out of 100, I'm happy with that. And he asked, what are we doing? And he said, just keep doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So all the things that I'm doing with Karen, with all the activities and hobbies and keeping busy, and those three pillars I mentioned are vital to keeping me.
Yep. I just wanted to mention too, although you are really busy and you're involved with so many activities and programs, you do keep a healthy balance with your resting and recovery, which I wanted to mention because I know you do that.
Yes.
It's very important for you. Thank you so much, Mike, for taking the time out of your already busy schedule to do this podcast with me. I would love for us to finish this podcast with some rapid fire questions.
Sure.
These 5 questions are all random and it just allows everyone to get to know you a little bit more.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. If you didn't have to sleep, what would you do with that extra time?
Make more plaques.
Perfect. If you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Cheesies.
What would your perfect Sunday look like?
Well, Sunday is the day that Karen and I kind of reserve to ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's spending time with her. Then we go out for breakfast, and we have put Holiday Beach in as one of the places that we go. It gets crazy in the spring, really loud, all kinds of birds and stuff around. I like feeding birds. I like watching them eat. I like our backyard's almost like a, it's just, aviary, yeah, it's where all the birds stop. They all drop by, and squirrels drop by, owls and eagles and owls and hawks and all kinds of really blue jays, cardinals, juncos, those little English sparrows, house sparrows. Mm-hmm. Around, and that's the sort of stuff we do on Sunday. It's not much.
It's good. It's a day to rest and do things that you love and spend time with people you love.
Yes.
What could you give a 40-minute presentation on with absolutely no preparation?
Alzheimer's.
What's the best piece of advice someone has ever given you?
Someone once said to me, the important part of life is to ask, to listen and do what you're told, and to share and confide and consult.
Wow. Thank you so much, Mike. It was a pleasure speaking with you today. I hope our listeners have gotten the chance to know you a little bit better. Hey, listeners, my call to action for all of you: how can you help? Educate yourself and encourage others to do the same. Refer your circle of friends and family to our services. Support our events and fundraising campaigns and become a dementia-friendly community. Listen to new episodes on the last Friday of every month on our YouTube channel, Alzheimer Windsor. Don't forget to subscribe. Our podcasts are also available on Spotify and Amazon Music. Help for today, hope for tomorrow, and remember,
better together.
Yay! I put you on the spot. We are better together.